You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This morning, we are welcoming into the studio Levi Patel, who is releasing his first full-length album called Affinity. Good morning to you, Levi.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah? You must be feeling pretty good about the fact that today is the day that you get to push your album out into the spaces.
Been waiting for this for many years, so
yeah, it feels good. How long have you been working on this album?
I started it. I only worked this out last week, but it kind of scared me that I started about 4 years ago.
Gosh.
Yeah.
So how do you spend 4 years on an album?
This is a great question. I guess I was writing music the whole time, but I just wanted to collect the more standout pieces. Yeah. And then I spent a lot of time developing each one. And then finally, when I was happy with everything, I had everything in demo form. And then I spent another long period of time recording and mixing and getting it to feel right to me.
Because is it quite hard to become happy with a piece of music? Because, you know, like, because you work so intimately with it, you must find it really easy to pick out little bits that you're just like, no, I can't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is really hard because it always sounds better in my head. And so the process of getting it to actually sound like that is kind of chasing an impossible goal. So I get it to where it's almost there and then just have to settle. I usually just book the mastering engineer so that if I were to make any changes, it would cost money.
Right. So does your music begin within your head? Do you hear a sound and then you kind of go with that sound?
Usually I start by playing around until I find a small phrase or something or an interesting sound that I think is worth building on. But once there's a foundation there, then I start to hear kind of what I want it to become in my head.
Yeah. So where did your first sound come from? Like, where were you when you thought of this album? Or did you even think of an album to begin with?
I think I realized about halfway through that it was becoming an album.
Yeah. Is there any continuation between the tracks?
Yeah, well, what I realized at that point was that a lot of them, they had, I guess because of what I was listening to at the time and everything, they kind of had related sounds and themes. And then I could start to hear a kind of mood development as well. So once I thought about the album, then from that point on, I was writing with that in mind as well.
What kind of themes or moods were you trying to push through, or did you realize that were coming through?
I think it's a lot of the music is kind of both really ecstatic and uplifting and at the same time deeply melancholic.
Yeah.
And yeah, sort of a tension but also harmony between them.
Mm.
So they're not necessarily conflicting.
I think the thing that I really liked about the album is that there's kind of like this continual build up. I like how you kind of, with the track that we're going to be listening to, the thing I really liked about it was that you start off with one sound and then you put on another sound and then you put on, like, do you know what I mean? Is that something that you really like to do?
I enjoy doing that because it means I can explore each idea more deeply, I feel. Because if you, through what my sort of climax of the song would be all at once as a new section, it would be too much to listen to and wouldn't sound very nice. But once you get familiar and like fall deeper into the repetition, then it can be really satisfying.
So where did music begin with you?
I started playing guitar in high school and played in some bands. Yeah.
And then through that, where did it go?
I started introducing instrumental interludes into all of my band's works, and they just got kind of longer and longer. And then the band drifted, and so I realized that was the part that I liked the most.
Why do you like that? Why do you like the kind of this instrumental world? What do you think it gives people?
I think it highlights the parts of music that I enjoy the most and that I think are probably my strengths. Even when I listen to music with lyrics and singing, I kind of hear it like I think most people would hear an instrumental song anyway. Mm.
Yeah, I have a really soft spot for instrumental music. I think the awesome thing about it is it can put you into weird spaces and kind of isolate you, but in a really nice way.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Let's have a listen to one of your tracks. I chose Something Still, which is the fifth track on the album. As I was kind of saying earlier, the reason why I chose this track is because I do really like how it does have this really kind of distinct build up. So are you happy if we have a little listen?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm just going to go onto my computer, enter in my password. There we are. Okay, let's have a listen. This is Something Still. It's the fifth track on the album that Levi has composed and written and is being released today.
Thank you.
So we were just listening to Levi Patel's track Something Still from the album Affinity, which we are talking about this morning. I've got some kind of like floozy words about like what I thought when I listened to it. So for me, I mean, I think the thing I really loved about it is that time kind of stops, I suppose. And as I said before, you kind of get into this bubble. And I think the music kind of allows for you to go into this weird kind of mood of reflection. I don't know. How do you respond to my words?
I'd agree with them.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think it's kind of hypnotic in that kind of way.
Yeah. And so tell us about the instruments that you use within this track particularly.
This one, I started with the introduction to this, just with that simple piano line and glockenspiel.
Yeah, I love the glockenspiel.
Counter melody. Where do I go from there? Most of it's made from my voice and my sister Gianna's voice.
Really?
Just lay it up, yeah.
Wow.
So that makes up the kind of choral sound that is the bulk of the song. And I just added layers and added additional parts to give it this very slow build, and then took them away one at a time. And as that dies down, introduced a viola towards the end. And also some of the weird kind of scratchy, grainy, distant sounds are our voices, but manipulated.
Wow. So, I mean, like, there aren't really that many instruments within this, but it's really powerful. It sounds like there's so much happening. Does that happen throughout the kind of production process? Do you kind of gain that fullness when you're producing the track?
I guess so. I find with the type of music I make, the production is, I feel like it's part of the composition.
Mm.
Like without that, those sounds combined in that way, it would be something very different.
So what kind of elements do you use within the production part of the whole creating of the song?
A lot of reverb. A lot of reverb. I guess it's a lot of it's about balancing and controlling the dynamic, because with the actual parts, they repeat. A lot of them just repeat over and over again for a few minutes, like 3 to 4 minutes. And so the way to make it powerful and interesting, I think, is to control how it builds and how the sound slowly evolves. So once, if you're listening to it and you get into that place you're talking about, then those small details will sort of shift you around and make you feel like you're moving but staying still at the same time.
Yeah,
I think with this piece in particular.
And we were kind of talking off air how, I mean, you aren't a classically trained musician, which is all good, but how you had to kind of teach yourself how to write for, say, the viola or the violin. What was that like?
I think most of it was just trying a lot of times and failing until it felt like what I had imagined. But because I wasn't familiar with the instruments, and in particular arranging larger groups of instruments, like some of the strings on the album and the voice parts, yeah, there was a lot of trial and error, but I always knew when I got to the point that I was trying to get to and when it actually felt like what my original idea was. And sometimes I never got there, and then I'd change what I was doing. But
do you feel like you're more confident in writing for these instruments that you were so, like, you didn't know anything about?
Yeah, definitely. I've noticed since finishing writing this album, the newer music that I've been writing, now I feel like I have a better grasp on how to use them. So I'm still learning and improving, but I definitely am not going in completely blind.
And what kind of relationship have you formed with Affinity as a whole?
Oh, I'm pretty deep into it. It covered such a long time in my life. Like when I started, I was a student at Auckland Uni, and then just kind of working on it at night.
Mm.
And then by the time I finished it, I was dedicating like every single day for, I think the biggest stretch of time I did was a whole month, just waking up, working on it, going to sleep,
So it's really embedded into you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a piece
of you. Very much feels like that. It sounds cheesy, but that's how it feels. Yeah,
let's just go cheesy. So you're going to be playing an afternoon performance at the Auckland Art Gallery, and that's tomorrow afternoon. How are you going to transform this album into a live performance? What are you going to have to do?
This is a real challenge. I got offered the show at the Art Gallery, and it's such an amazing place that I couldn't say no, but I also had no idea how I was going to perform the music because there are just so many layers. Mm. But I have a band. There are four of us in total. So I have three of us are kind of switching between guitars, keyboards, bass guitar, and also doing some kind of ambient vocals.
Right.
And then we have a cellist as well. And I've sort of tried to use the vocals to replace some of the other parts that we aren't able to reproduce live.
What parts are they that you can't reproduce live?
For example, some of the string parts, there's one example that we'll play that the main string parts, there's cello, viola and violin working together, and it's only when they're together that the parts make sense. So we have the cello, and then we have two voices kind of singing the other parts, but swelling in a way that the strings would swell.
So is it almost like you're kind of having to do another album, kind of, in that you're taking parts of this one but then really focusing on how you can reflect Affinity as a whole through this live performance?
Because the production, like I was saying, is such an integral part to the songs, we've incorporated some pre-recorded parts that are absolutely essential, but then tried to highlight the parts that we can play. So the arrangements are quite similar, but the emphasis is definitely quite different.
And what's the other people's kind of reaction to your album, the people that are playing with you tomorrow?
They're all really close friends of mine, so they've been hearing me talk about it for a long time.
Awesome.
But yeah, I think it's quite different to what they normally do, so they're really enjoying it, so they tell me.
Are you hoping that people kind of pick up this album and just listen to it wherever?
Yeah, wherever they feel like, yeah.
Cool. And do you know what you want to do in the future? Are you working on anything else, or are you just kind of taking a break? I mean, you have been working on this for 4 years, so it's a long time to be kind of mulling over something.
I've started writing a lot of new music already because the final stages were more technical on Affinity. Mm. So while I was mixing it and preparing for the release, I still felt like I wanted to write music.
Mm.
So I took a short break from writing, but I've been working on some more intimate piano and string based music rather than the big soundscapes that are on Affinity.
Yeah. What do you like about the relationship between piano and string?
I mean, it's tried and tested.
Yeah.
I like writing for it because each part, I feel like it has to feel very important and have emotional weight to achieve the same feeling that I try to achieve with the more layered work that I do.
Mm.
So it's, yeah, I'm still learning how to achieve that, but I find it's really a satisfying challenge.
Well, thank you so much, Levi Patel, for coming in this morning and joining us. Your album is fantastic, and I do urge people to go out and get themselves a copy. If people want to, how do they go about getting it?
It's on all the digital platforms. And then
all
we
the
have a limited run of cassette tapes made by Prison Tapes, which are on Bandcamp.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And you're going to be playing tomorrow at 3 p.m. in the New Zealand Art Room, where people can go and see a live performance of it. And it should be great. It's a great venue. And
it's so beautiful.
It'll be interesting to hear the sound within a space. And I'm going to finish by playing another track by you from the album. And I think I chose Empty Calls Quiet, because I think it's quite nice to like have a little look at the piano aspect.
All right, thank you.
Of the album. Thank you so much, Levi.
Thank you.
You are listening to the amazing music by Levi Patel. He has just released his first album called Affinity. And if you want to get it, just look it up on the web and you will find it. And you can see him playing live tomorrow afternoon at the Auckland Art Gallery at 3 p.m. in the New Zealand Art Room. So you should definitely push yourself to go and just listen to some music that maybe you normally wouldn't listen to.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.